the formal strategy that I used in writing White Privilege is very much the product of an idea known as metamodernism. And metamodernism is basically a cultural paradigm, a way of understanding how we live in the current time period that draws significant elements from both modernism, which governed literature in the first part of the 20th century, and postmodernism, which really directed literature for the second half of the 20th century. And basically, the idea of metamodernism is that in the internet age, we have a dual sort of inheritance from both the literary modernists and the literary postmodernists. And we get many things from this inheritance. From the modernists, one of the things we get is a sort of optimism. Granted, there were many pessimistic modernists, but generally speaking, existentially, a sort of optimism and an awareness and focus on the self in relation to the world. And then, of course, from postmodernism, there is a certain sort of cynicism regarding structures and their ability to hold together over time. And so, generally, postmodern writing is, as we know, is deconstructive. It sort of takes things apart. And so, growing up in the internet age, if you're a student of literature, you're aware of both those inheritances. And the question is, what do you do with that knowledge? How do you honor both of those predecessors among the literary philosophies? So with White Privilege, what I tried to do and what I've done with some of my other poems that I would consider metamodern in their inclination is to take very personal data that really is about my life. Either it's something that I'm reading at the moment or it's things that actually happened to me, and to fit that data into a conceptual constraint that will govern the poem. And the conceptual constraint in the case of White Privilege was that I would write 450 statements about myself that were true. And they would be direct, short statements of fact. They would be juxtaposed against one another. They would not be in any particular order. But they would all be true. And so that's the conceptual element, but unlike some other conceptualists, it's very important to me that the data that I'm using be data that acknowledges me as a human being, as someone who at least hopes to be distinct, has at least a desire to have a sense of self, even if that's difficult in the internet age. And so the hope of White Privilege is to make a sort of statement about what happens when we have almost too much information about our own lives, or when we give out to other people so much information about ourselves. Does that information accumulate? Do we start to make more sense to other people or to ourselves? Or do we, over time, actually make less sense and become incoherent, even when we're being very clear to other people and to ourselves about who we think we are and what we've done and what we've said, whether it's something we were ashamed of or something that we are proud of, or just something that happened that is, you know, neutral in our lives. And, you know, certainly wrapped up in my life are the many privileges that I have, one of which is being a white person. As the poem says, I'm not an Anglo, but I certainly am Caucasian. And that's one of the many privileges that I have that certainly defines many things that I've done or said or received or given to others in my life. Probably doesn't define fully any individual element of my life, but touches many of them. Perhaps not all, but many. And so that element is present as well in the title, so that it's not just a question of data processing and poetry as a data processing praxis or procedure, but it's also specifically about themes that run throughout my life. And again, one of those is definitely the fact that I do benefit significantly from white privilege.